We are so grateful to be together today in our community of joy, to sing together, to laugh together, and mostly to be inspired and to grow in spiritual consciousness. Many names and paths lead to the one presence and the one power that we call God. That power is the creating, attracting, and unifying force of love, which lies within us, expresses through us, and is all around us. In this power, we are one. And from this oneness, we send a blessing of unconditional love, peace, and abundant joy to all beings everywhere. We are so grateful, and so it is. So we're going to do a song, and we can stay seated into the meditation. Happening in the world around us is an extension of what is happening inside each one of us. Our individual beliefs are part of the collective consciousness of our planet. My own thoughts and feelings create waves of energy that move outward from me. Others feel those feelings and pass them on. My inner conflict contributes to conflict, and my own peace allows peace to grow. Every time I take the opportunity to heal something inside myself, that process allows for healing in the world. With this in mind, I choose to be a channel for peace. I purposely bring my awareness to the divine energy, allowing it to radiate from me to the outer, allowing for the realization of lasting peace. A world of peace begins in me. So far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Romans 12:18. And so it is.
And so it is. Perfect lead-in, Lori. Thank you, and to both of you. I invite you to hold your hands up for just a moment and just shake them a little bit. And see if in that shaking you can feel yourself returning to yourself. Is that what today seems to be about? It feels like that bridge that I talked about last week. I'm standing right out over the edge. Have any of you on the edge at the moment? Or been there at some time in your life that you can identify with? Okay. So let's give ourselves permission to go from the center to the edge this morning. And with that, I invite you to take a very gentle breath. Feel your breath breathing you. And whether with eyes open, faded or closed, just give yourself permission to be yourself. And take another breath. And feel yourself settling back into your chair. Instead of holding yourself up, let it do the work. Feel the energy dropping from your head down, down, and down through your shoulders and your torso. Feel it running through your arms. Just feel that energy dropping. Feel it dropping down in your waist and your seat. Take another breath. That's it. Feel it dropping down from your top through your midsection down into your legs, your ankles and your feet down into the floor. And with another gentle breath, begin to turn the awareness over to something else inside of you. A deeper place, a deeper life, love, or presence. That listens to and holds us. That gentle stillness and presence which we might call God. Or spirit. Let me take time to listen to the spirit in me that lives through me and around me as well. And in that gentle silence, peace. Be still. take another gentle breath. And with it, begin to come back. Come back to the feeling in your hands. Feeling in your feet. Come back to the awareness of your breath and the sounds in the room. Back very gently to feeling yourself in the room, but also blessed with that spirit inside us that walks with us in times of peace, in times of trouble, times of anxiety, times of grace. It sometimes walks behind us on that long and winding road, but is ever present, leading us and guiding us on our way. Back into the room as we continue into music.
But still they lead me back to the long winding road. You left me standing here long, long time ago. Don't keep me waiting here. Lead me to your door.
Something moving through this morning, so let's follow that journey. World of peace begins in me, as Lori read and even the daily word spoke of. So let me turn to what today is about. It's part two in what I call the healing journey, and this edition of our program is called Healing Our Minds, Bodies, Relationships, and World. Sounds about right for a 15 or 20 minute talk, right? We can do it all. The power is with us. Right. All right. Believe it. Be there. If you can finish faster than I do, feel free to leave. All right? Okay. So the Unity theme for August is health and healing. And last week, part one of this talk, I asked questions like, what do health and healing really mean? What would we like to heal in our lives? And the practical one is, how do we really do it? Without the bottom one, the top two are kind of nice, but perhaps irrelevant. Now, what I'd like to do is begin today with a quiz. All right, and this is what I call the no fault, no guilt, no worries if you get it wrong quiz. Okay, you can't get it wrong. But here's the opening. So the first one is, you see the medical practitioner sitting in front of the client or patient with his gizmo in front of his face. What's the situation? Now, when you have a clue on it and feel like you know it, feel free to call it out. And otherwise, here's the next clue. He's as more spiritually enlightened or less spiritually enlightened. What's the situation? Well, of course, it's a third eye examination. Right, now you're into the healing stream. You get it, okay? So this is where we're going today. So here's the next one. Two meditators sitting together, and one asks the other a question. What might that question be? Play the Jeopardy theme for a moment. And the question is, a penny for your lack of thoughts. All right, this is the right crowd. Okay, good to know it. So here, now we're going to move into healing of relationships. There's a minister standing in front of two people about to be wed. Now, a modern-day minister knows that it's important to have a good foundation to build a relationship on. So what might he say to these two people in front of him? Well, do you, Thomas, promise to change your Facebook status to married and link to Jennifer's page? These are the fundamentals of building good relationships these days, right? Okay, got that one. This one is a little bit different. If we get too much of a hum there, I might get somebody to work on. Actually, I'll stand up a little bit to get out of the way of the speaker. That might be better. Okay, and so the last one is, the world doesn't make sense, so why should I paint pictures that do? What famous artist said that? You got it, Pablo Picasso. That's not a self-portrait, but I'll leave you to decide. So let's go a little deeper with the healing theme. And I'll stand down here, so let's see how that is with the mic. That sounds like it's going to work. Okay, I think so. You're all right? No? Okay, good. So let's move on to the next one. A kind gesture can reach a wound that only compassion can heal. Think about that. Only a kind gesture. Somebody by the name of Steve Maraboli said that. The next one. There is a divine spark within each of us. Miracles are supposed to happen. And healing is supposed to occur. What if we were able to shift our thinking from, wouldn't it be nice, to, wait a second, this is supposed to be. What kind of shift might we have in our lives and our world? We really had that strength of consciousness. Nothing ever goes away until it has taught us what we need to know. Yeah, right? Okay. Get away, instead of, tell me, what are you trying to say to me here? Okay. And the last one, when fear disappears, the foundation of disease is gone. Spoken by perhaps one of the most powerful healers of the last 200 years, Mary Baker Eddy. When fear disappears, the foundation of disease is gone. So what I'd like you to do is think back to last week, and for those of you who weren't here last week, I'll give you a little recap, just like television shows do. Right before you get into the next segment, we'll give you a little recap on the last. Well, here's what last week was about. Somewhere in our very, very, very distant past, a part of our universal mind came to believe that we are separate from our very source or creator. Hard to imagine, but that supposedly, according to spiritual wisdom, is what happened. Instead of knowing that our true nature is goodness and love and power and peace and oneness, this part of the mind believed that it was the opposite of all of that. Hard to imagine a schism like that, but according to, and yes, let's let that ringing speak to us about, be aware here, be aware. Imagine the schism inside. And that part of the mind made up the idea that we are guilty and shameful. Take a breath if any of you tune into that. Not easy stuff, but it is to be brought up for healing. Fearful, lacking in power to change our circumstances, our conditions in the world. Physical and not spiritual, limited, mortal instead of immortal, and separate from anything and everything else, as we are physically, I separate from each of you and we from the things in the room and all of nature. That's what this mind supposedly made up, this idea of limitation. And that's why human nature and human experience are split. If you ever feel split some days, there's good reason for it. It ain't just you, it's all of us. We believe in good and bad, love and fear. This split, watch these two signs. Having and lack. Health and disease, and life and death. That's just being human, right? Deep down, we believe in two powers, not just one. The power of the limited mind, or sometimes called ego. The power of our unlimited mind, sometimes called spirit. That is the split. Because deep down, we believe in two realities. The real physical world, this is what's real, solid, what you can touch and taste and smell. And that's the world of limits. Limits of time, limits of money, challenges in relationship, in health. This is the embodiment of that split and the limitations in our consciousness, is my understanding. So we believe in two realities, the real physical world and our true spiritual reality. And this is going in our unconscious and conscious every moment of every day, this split. Who am I? One of the questions of our lives. And that's what I described last week as being the two worlds we live in. And that we have a need to bridge these two worlds, the limited and the unlimited, in some way, through what I call the healing journey. Whatever that healing in your life may be, and in our lives, it's a personal and a shared journey. Now, for me, it's about moving step by step from this consciousness to this consciousness. Separation, lack, fear, guilt, believing and feeling we're not okay, to knowing inside, feeling inside, and growing among us the consciousness of connection, wholeness, love, innocence, and that we are truly enough. Feeling that confident in our enoughness instead of our not enoughness. All right? So, and in so doing, in shifting that consciousness to really literally, not metaphorically, but literally heal our parts of our lives, mind, body, spirit, relationships and world, and experience our true state of being once again. Again, a pretty tall order. But it's like building a bridge to a place we can scarcely imagine. Is that really possible? But somehow inside, we know that's what we want. We know that that's what we're here for at some deep level. This aspirational quality of the human spirit says, yes, I want that. The problem is we don't know how to connect this reality to that reality. Or at least that's been my experience. So how do we practically do it? That's what today is about. Now, last week, I mentioned four steps across the bridge that came to me and that I've been working with for the last 40 years. Learn the ideas about our true nature. Practice shifting our mind. That's what I call the inner steps. Take actions in the world. It's not just about inner work. It has to be about integrative outer work. And see what actually works and actually heals. And that's why last week I used the example of Myrtle Fillmore, one of the co-founders of Unity, who had tuberculosis and other health challenges, and through the practice of those four steps and others, experienced a healing. And that's what founded the Unity movement, was practical demonstration of the power of these ideas in our own personal affairs and lives. Which is great, but what about us? It's nice to sit on the laurels of what those in the past have done, but it's not sufficient. How do we do that in our own lives? That's my question for today. And so with that, I'm going to go to a little different mode. about my journey. You can see by the bridge, it's not always been the safest, the easiest, the most solid of things, but it feels to me like the best way I can ground those ideas in the work and the challenges that I've been facing over the last 40 years. So let me start with that. The first part is about relationships. Now, there's a reason why we invented emoticons, right? Because relationships take us right across the entire gamut of emotion. The rise, the fall, the tears and the joy, all parts. And that was my experience starting out as a young husband in the early 1970s. Married at the age of 19, and stepping in a new field called environment. I was an environmental communicator. And in that time, it was the height and the depths of those emoticons. It was beauty and it was deep challenge. I was doing work that I truly loved, helping to pioneer waste recycling in Canada, and I was an environmental communicator. And in that field, at the same time, I was deeply challenged because I didn't like what other people were doing, to be frank. And I was at loggerheads with other environmentalists, with government and business. And that caused a lot of conflict inside of me, even though I was doing work that I loved, deep conflict inside. But what really took it deeper was the conflict in my relationship. It was a tortuous path for both of us that took us very deep into grief and pain, separation and loss, all the places that the pain of relationships can sometimes take us. And as a result of that, I was in a deep state of despair, 6-7 years in. I came across, was gifted with the awareness of a book called A Course in Miracles. It was the only thing, after having done 6-7 years of counseling, psychotherapy, gestalt, other things, was the only thing that cracked the nut for me. And the course brought me those new ideas that I was talking about earlier. Here are some of them. The first one is our minds are split. You'll recognize these two. That's what introduced me to this idea that as a human being, we're split. Totally revolutionary idea to me, but it made sense and it's something I've been working with for the last 40 years. Second thing it brought to me, it says we are always choosing to join with one of those two minds. The ego and fear, or spirit and love. And it's a decision we are making 1,000,000 times a day. Between ego and spirit. And what I was introduced to was the idea of not running forward into things, but pausing. To stop for a moment and listen. And to ask, which mind am I choosing right now? Fear or love? Peace or conflict? Fundamental choice that led me down a road, and then to choose the mind that I wanted to experience. And it taught me that I have some power over my life, over my conditions, over my awareness of how I treat people. The next thing it taught me is that all thoughts create on some level, and all minds are kind. Now, this one really blew my mind. I mean, I'm scientifically trained. My background's in maths and science. And so when I think about the thoughts that I was having towards other environmentalists, my wife, government, or business, those were thoughts of attack, thoughts of you're not right, you're wrong, I'm right, all those kinds of thoughts. And this said those thoughts are creating and affecting other people and myself. Oh my God. Pardon the expression, but I think I can say that in church.
Yeah.
If you really get that one, you start to change your thinking because you don't want the results of the thoughts you're putting inside and out. It was a revolution for me. And the last one inside, which was a total bang, was ask inside for direction. Because there is a deeper wisdom always waiting to guide us. Now, scientifically trained, looking at the physical reality, I'm going, there ain't such a place. But as I started to work with it, practice the inner steps, the shift in mind, I started to become aware of things and places and information that I could never have known consciously. Where to go, who to meet, flight numbers on flights I was about to take, things that were just like, how do I know this? It was beginning to provide evidence that there was something more going on. And what I did is I took those principles into my relationships and said, I want peace more than the conflict that is freaking my mind out. I want peace with my wife instead of this terror, this tension, this anxiety. And so bit by bit by bit, practicing the daily steps in A Course in Miracles, which is what, for me, I really needed. One good idea wasn't enough. I needed it daily, every day, hour by hour, minute by minute at times, to say, which mind are you going to choose? Conflict or peace? And so peace became my North Star instead of being right and wrong, which used to be my two stars. In that transition, I started to see my wife differently. I started to see my business partners differently, government and business differently. I came to see, particularly with my wife, even in the midst of arguments, distress, anger, rage, to see something different in her, to see behind the surface of her behavior into the truth or the love or the scaredness that she was experiencing. And in that shift, it started to open my heart from being closed down to feeling compassion for somebody who was out of her element, who wasn't working at something that she wanted to work at, had multiple other challenges that I represented and was part of, and if I couldn't hear her, who could? And that initiated my healing journey. And it did the same in my work as well. And my work began to take off because I started to listen more to people instead of just tell them what I thought. Well, in that process, a couple of years later, after a deep argument, my wife went to have a bath. I sat on the Chesterfield and I think probably cried and cried out, what do I do here? And in that moment, I heard the words, and now it's time to leave. I could never have done that by myself. I was too afraid of what might happen. Well, I walked up, went into the bathroom, sat down beside the bathtub and said, I need to leave now. We need to complete this. Forget the words, but that was the essence. Instead of her raging and throwing me out, we lived together for the next 3 months, probably some of the most peaceful times we'd had. Took care of each other, helped her create a new apartment, and walked off into my next part of my life. Left my job, left my home, left my wife, and left my city all at the same time. Well, life closes one door, but it opens another. Within 2 months of that experience, I met another woman who 2 years later I came into a relationship with. And because I'd done the work, we not only had a love relationship, we worked together. She was just creating an office in the home. She asked me to be part of her. So I went from a relationship of not being able to be barely on the same camping trip with my first wife to the fact that we were working together, traveling together, volunteering together. We were together 24/7 for 17 years. And it was more healing, more profound, more rich, more embracing, more joy and harmony than I ever could have imagined in my first relationship. That, for me, is the power of this work. that we talk about each Sunday and read about Daily Word and other places. Let me move you on to the next one. Work. Part of the work. Have you ever experienced work being a bit like a roller coaster? You go up with the great expectations and you go down with the failures. You go up with the next idea and down when somebody says no to you. Work for me is that, can be that roller coaster experience. Well, I was in the midst of such a roller coaster experience partway into this working relationship with my wife and partner. I was still, some part of me still seeking to get in, back in the environmental field, and our work in the word processing field, which we had it together as a business, wasn't going great. So I decided to take a contract with a book publishing company to create an environmental directory. And it, I was promised, hey, it should be a fair amount of money for a short period of time. Remember to listen to those phrases. I spent the next year and a half earning about perhaps quarter to half a year's salary with the most intense project I have ever worked on in my life. I was going night and day, 7 days a week, trying to create this directory, which I did. It was an amazing directory, but then it didn't sell. And I finally came to the end of a year and a half where I had a court order saying, cease and desist, you can't sell these directories that you created anymore, by one of the partners in the company. And I was sitting in my office one day going, what the heck am I supposed to be doing? I just blew it, so to speak. Well, my wife brings in an audio cassette. We did audio transcription, listening to voice talks, etc., perhaps like this, and typing up a print transcript. She said, you're not doing anything today. Why not type this up? And in the midst of it, well, actually, it's a part I left out. In asking Spirit, so what is this about? Something said about the last project. You didn't really love it, did you? That was the words I heard. Well, I thought back. I was passionate about it. I talked to everybody about it. But no, actually, a part of me didn't want to do that. It wasn't in love with it. It was passionate, forceful, but it didn't have that rising up current of joy and love. Well, as I'm typing, listening to this audio tape, I'm saying to myself, you know, I love this. I'm really good at this. I'm producing a really fine transcript. And the inner voice said, did you hear what you just said? I really love this. I said to my inner voice, there's no way I'm going to become a secretary, for heaven's sakes. I'm here for a larger work. I just fought it for the next 24 hours, this thought that I was supposed to do audio transcription as my next line of work. But eventually, the voice that said, if you love it, trust it, step out on it. I finally got my ego in check. I made 10 outward bound sales calls. If you know what that's like, picking up the phone and calling a company and saying, would you like this service? I did 10. I never made one more call of sales, and our business shifted from 5% audio tape transcription to 95% audio tape transcription, working for some of the largest companies in Canada and teleconference services across North America. It didn't, our Yellow Pages advertising didn't change. All of the practicalities didn't change. Spirit said, you've chosen, now let me do the work. And what it meant was, instead of, like most of us do as business people, trying our best to paddle upstream, it felt like this time I made a choice and was being carried downstream, that I didn't have to do all the work because I was working in harmony with the larger force of life. Very practical demonstration for me. Decision making. Do you ever find sometimes when you're making a decision, it feels like I have to make the wrong, or make the right decision, because if I don't make the right one, I'll make the wrong one. You ever feel that split, that sometimes if I don't make the right decision, it's a decision between heaven and hell? Well, that was my experience. Unfortunately, my relationship of 17 years had to come to a close for reasons I won't get into. But about a year later, my former wife said to me, "You've always loved Vancouver. Have you any plans to move out there?" We were living in Toronto at that time, obviously separately at that point. I said, "No, I haven't had any thoughts about, but God knows where I live. If I'm supposed to go out, he'll let me know." I said something like that. Well, for the next 24 hours, my mind was in fierce conflict. Should I move? Should I not? Should I move? Should I not? It was really into this right-wrong decision-making of the ego mind. I had no idea, but I knew that my conflict level was going sky-high and off the charts. So eventually I said, "I can't do this. I won't do this to myself. I want peace. I want peace." And it took me 2 or 3 or 4 hours to get my mind in check, to hold my ego mind at bay, like that bucking bronco in the rodeo, and say, "I'm choosing peace instead of this." Now, we talk about this word a lot, but for me, it was a practical reality that says, if I choose the loving mind, I will experience peace. And it took those 2 or 3 hours to make that clear choice inside. I will choose nothing else but peace. And it finally broke. I felt the peace. Well, 2 weeks later, I happened to be going to an event that my former wife was helping to put on. I get off a bus at a bus shelter. I see an ad in a bus transit shelter that said something like, "Make the move," or whatever. In that moment, a click went inside saying, "It's time to move to Vancouver." Okay. I didn't have to make the choice. I'd given the choice up. The choice was now being communicated to me. I went to the seminar. My wife, former wife, asked me if I wanted a ride home afterwards. And while she's driving, she says, "Any more thoughts about Vancouver?" I said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I was just told an hour and a half ago I'm supposed to go to Vancouver." That's how decision-making can work from the higher mind. We don't have to, of our own conflict nature, decide. We can actually give it up to a larger part of us that knows, and if we're open, can help us know what to do. That's my experience of the last 40 years, and I've seen it time and again. I can give you way more stories, but I need to move on. So this one's about deepest fears. Whoa, okay, I'm going to have to make this short. Faced with the conflict between time and stories, one needs to attend to both. So here's the way I'll share it. Has anybody ever experienced being in a closet of something you couldn't say, couldn't do, couldn't even mention or think of because it was too horrific to somebody in your world or to yourself? Well, that's what happened with spirituality for me. When I got into A Course in Miracles, for me, it was like spiritual pornography. Because I was raised by my father to have nothing to do with this God stuff, this fluffy thinking. And yet I knew I had to live it. And as I started to express it in my world, people around me went, "Whoa, we could go there before with you with recycling. We can't go there with this stuff." And so what I did is I put it in a closet. I said, "I will continue every day to practice this stuff as much as I can, but I will never speak of it again." That was the commitment I made to myself. And that was 1982, and it wasn't until 2003, not essentially speaking out again, that I ended up typing a book over 3 months called Coming Out of the Spiritual Closet. That I gave to family and friends and said, "I believe in God. And this is the hardest thing I've ever had to say to another person." And it's taken me since 2003 to this point to feel like I can begin to embody my beliefs about A Course in Miracles, about unity, about the things that I'm talking to you about here, and say it in the world. It's been a long and winding road. But in fact, last night I realized that it wasn't the only closet that I've been in and need to come out of. Because my work now is about how do I take these spiritual principles and bring them back to the field of change. Environment, social change, other people in the world who want to make change. It's something I've developed called conscious change. Bringing the spiritual principles into secular language so that we can begin to make change in our world, but from a different consciousness. But I'm still in the closet on that one, so this is my coming out with that today. More on that another time. My body, oh God, the stories. I'll share a brief one, hot dog. That's not a self-image picture, by the way. I may be long and thin, but I have a passion for hot dogs. One day, I was traveling to the Gulf Islands, and I had a hot dog at Tawasin in the ferry terminal. And on the way, I started to have rumbling in my stomach and felt really distressed. Now, my mind could have said, hey, that's the hot dog. You had some bad food. You're just going to have to deal with it. But I've been working with the Course in Miracles. I said, I do not choose to suffer here. I will not let this belief in the hot dog having power over me choose. And it took me an hour or so to move through. I will not choose to be powerless. I will not give this hot dog the power over my state of mind. Yeah, we often give our power to hot dogs, right? Well, anyway. I arrived at a retreat that I was supposed to be going to an hour and a half later. I come up to the door and I get a hug from this person and I crumble. My pain goes away and what comes to mind is you've been grieving the loss of your wife who I'd separated from a year or two before. Disappeared like that. Well, I got another story about teeth that I'm not even sure that I have time to share except to say major toothache about a month ago when I started to prepare for this talk. I was 15 minutes from calling the dentist to go to have whatever it was going to be, but I was working with it. With a Christian Science practitioner I was calling, I called Silent Unity three times for the reminder of the truth of my being, and the toothache started to shift. I went from eating beans and chicken noodle soup for several days to the point where I'm now doing steak again. Haven't got full use, but getting pretty close. One more evidence that the power is within us to shift our thinking. And along this way, I've had multiple times of saying, oh, that's what you're not, that's what you've been afraid of seeing, of talking about A Course in Miracles or conscious change, etc. So the process, my process continues. Finally, the world. You know, when we have windstorms, I live beside Stanley Park, and when we have major winds, I tune into Unity and Course in Miracles and say, how do I release the power of these winds in my consciousness so that I do not believe that we have to suffer the terror of these? And I've seen them shift. I even did it with a hurricane in Toronto that was approaching and shifted track the night after I worked with it this way. Now, this is not to be arrogant or to be boastful or to tell you something to make you think I'm special. It's simply for me evidence, growing, that we have the power within us to shift from the smallest things to the largest things, including those fires and other things affecting us, with the power of prayer and the power of forgiveness and the power of healing. So why do I share these stories? Because they're things we can actually do. It actually works. And after 40 years, I've got a body of evidence, but also you do too. Don't invalidate it, validate it. I've always been fascinated by pioneers and explorers in my life. People who went out on the edge in science, in geography, in exploration of all sorts of things. Well, I believe that we are now the pioneers and the explorers. Because we are in the midst of what I'll call a consciousness revolution. We are here to demonstrate the power of thought and the power of putting that thought into action to help us change our relationships from our mind and our bodies, our minds and our worlds, our minds with each other and our entire world. We are here to be the bridge between those two worlds that I spoke of earlier, in the most practical ways, so that we can reveal that new earth that Eckhart Tolle once wrote about. It's going to be a shift from the very practical level of taking these simple steps that you and I both know, and the breathing that we both practice, into the healing of our minds and bodies, the healing of our relationships, the healing of our relationships to other creatures, to nature, and to all of life, and to heal our world through these small steps. It's about each of us. We can't get through this unless we do our own work, but we can't do it alone. It's holding the hand of the person on your left and the person on your right, because we all need help on this journey. It's going to be one of crossing the deep valley and a long and very winding road. But in my experience, if we follow it, it leads us to places in relationship, among us, and with our entire world that really will help us to be the agents of the healing that we seek in our lives and in our world. God bless.
Thank you, Eric. That was super inspiring.
Yes.
Gave us some practical things to work on.
Outside.